Nourish your inner power with alcohol-free organic sparkling teas and botanicals made with ethically sourced, regeneratively grown ingredients. That's right, drinksarilla.com. That's drink SARILLA.com. And you can check out their variety of flavors from sparkling organic green hibiscus tea to sparkling organic white ginger tea. They have sparkling organic apple black tea, sparkling organic lemon black tea, Tulsi lime sparkling botanical, and rooibos vanilla sparkling botanical as well. That's six different flavors to serve. Or you can check them out online and get the Cirilla Starter Pack sampler gift. DrinkCirilla.com. Try it today.
Great day, family. You are tapped into the Bullish Picks podcast with your main man, 100 Grand, Ken Blanks Harrell, right here, streaming on your favorite podcast and platform, where we give you everything you need from Main Street to Wall Street so that you can navigate these choppy waters. You got stock market questions, I've got stock market answers. Tap in, catch me on IG at Ask Blank. We are here and we are back on the Bullish Picks podcast with your main man, 100 Grand, Ken Blanks Harrell. And we are here sitting down with Mr. Ryan Marshall, financial professional and educator with Wealth Wave, giving us all kind of gems and tips and tools that you can use to be resourceful and just more equipped on your financial literacy journey. Just want to share how grateful I am for him to be here. We met out here on a tour of duty of sharing the financial insights in the community, right? Going to the places that are consistently overlooked and underserved. And I want to emphasize that point. This isn't always, you know, hotel ballrooms and big stages. This is grassroots reaching back. And I believe in that. And I think that was one of the real organic pieces that, like, man, I really respect this brother and admire the work he's doing in the community for the people, you know, not charging for the knowledge. You know, there's a lot of people out here on the internet these days charging people $10,000, $20,000 to have a conversation and not provide no value. And we talking about brothers rolling up their sleeves and going out and giving this to the community for the free. So I just want to salute you for that. Give you your flowers, my brother. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
Definitely appreciate it. We need it, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we just keep building with the conversation, I know you out here. I know you are, you know, well-versed on Wall Street. And I'm very curious about your sentiments overall about just where we are right now. The direction the market may be going in, not so much predicting the market, but just, do you have your eyes on any specific sectors or industries that you feel confident in for the long term? I know that some people are short-term traders and some people are more long-term investors. And what I gathered from our initial meeting and in the workshop that I, you know, I sat through your workshop and took like pages of notes and learned quite a bit. It seemed to me that you more skewed to being a long-term investor. So I wanted to get your feedback on that and just any type of perspective on any sectors or industries that may have made it to your watch list or your wish list.
Well, you know, I appreciate the question. And, you know, we talk a lot about a lot of different things. And that's the beauty of being able to work with 100 different type of companies is that you get the ability to custom make a financial plan for each individual person. So nothing's ever cookie cutter. You know, having said that, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about recession, you know, and over half of the economists here in the United States are saying that we're due to hit a recession at the second half of the year, you know, and while that may happen, you know, the feds have increased the rates to try to fight inflation. you know, to try to force companies to push down the prices of things, goods and services and, you know, whatnot. You know, I always look at some of the sectors that always seem to beat recession. And I look at companies like energy companies. Energy and defense are the two that I generally look at. And think about this. A company like, say, for example, and before I get into the companies, if you remember, Ken, and I know you know this very well, that energy companies had a record year for annual profits in 2022 of the six largest six largest energy companies that are here in America in the West. They made over $1 trillion of net profit, net. That is mind blowing. I don't even know how many digits that is. What is that? 12? Or whatever, that is a lot of money.
More than fingers, more than both hands.
Listen, I don't have that many fingers. I wish I did. But, you know, so you think about that. But what's even more staggering, you remember when gas prices were $5 and $6 and $7 last summer and people were like pulling their hair out like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm sitting here driving a big old shit. I wasn't even driving a Tahoe. I was driving a Traverse and I'm pumping $100, $110, $120 worth of gas. And a lot of people were saying, all these companies are profiteering. But think about if you were an investor in one of these companies, a company like ExxonMobil, who just raked this in hand over fist, Shell, Chevron, companies like that. These companies were having record profits. And so in a year like 2023, where it's been a little up and a little down, I think we're on the end of a bear market. And I think the market's going to come back a little bit as a whole. And I think it has come back a little bit despite forecasters and economists saying there's a recession. Already, ExxonMobil has made $11.4 billion in the first quarter alone, which is a record for them. They doubled up the amount of money that they made net over last year's quarter one and this year's quarter one. Now, Ken, this is interesting right here because gas prices are not $5 and $6 and $7. They were $5 here in Michigan. You know, a lot of people, my friends on the West Coast, are like, man, shut up. You know, dude, it's been $7. We've had $5 gas since forever. But out there, it was $7. Well, today, they've doubled up their profits because more people are on the roads today than there were even in 2022, even though gas prices are lower, you know, than they were last summer. And so they're talking about a record amount of people going back to the roads. I think inflation has kind of helped this sector, especially because with the inflation and the higher cost of airline fares, more people are going back to traveling in their vehicles. And so every single one of the top Western gas companies, the energy companies, have hit record profits in the first quarter. ExxonMobil, Shell at $9.6 billion. Chevron is 6.6. They've increased significantly in each of the first for each company in the first quarter over last year's first quarter. And ExxonMobil just staggering doubled it up. And so that's a sector I always tend to look at when it comes to potential recession beaters or companies that I think are going to have record years, and you could cash in as well on those record years. Another industry I think we were talking about before that I always tend to look at, and I have sort of a special kind of perspective for this, is energy. I'm sorry, or not just talked about energy, defense. You know, there's a lot of geopolitical, you know, things occurring around the world. And we're talking about Russia, Ukraine, you know, the West versus China and Russia. North Korea is talking about a ballistic missile that, you know, can go farther and now can potentially hit the West Coast of the United States and all of these things like that. And so with America continuing its assistance of Ukraine, you know, to battle forces, the Russian forces, you can believe that defense is going to continue to be something that is heavily looked at. And I think it kind of falls under the radar. But think about this, Ken. The United States is spending $800 billion in defense this year alone. And in every year since 1960, they have spent more and more money. If you think about it, this year alone, they're spending just over $800 billion. It's about 3.4% of the total gross domestic product. It's more than 2020, which was $778 billion. 2019 was less. If you think about it, for almost 50 years, the United States has increased the amount of money that they have spent on defense. And in 1960, it was $47 billion. So if you think about that, you know, there is a huge commitment for defense, you know, and when you start looking at how things are going in the world, it's something certainly to look at. We've spent more money each and every year, and it doesn't seem like it's going to stop. So companies like Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, these defense contractors, these companies that build missiles, that build tanks, that that spend on war and different ammunition and different things like that. Defense is very big. And I used to live in Huntsville, Alabama. And for people that don't know, Huntsville, Alabama is considered the Rocket City. And so we got a chance to see up close and personal all of these defense contractors that normally you might see in a place like Washington, D.C. So your Northrop Grumman's, your Lockheed Martin's, your Boeing's, your Raytheon's, all of those companies. And then they had a really big military installation, one of the biggest military installations in the South called Redstone Arsenal, where they did all of this military rocket testing. And so it is a very smart city, a very international city. And so you see these companies and the federal government pour into these defense contractors, and they're not going anywhere, you know. And so if you want to look at short-term growth, but even for the long haul as well, you can't go wrong, I believe, with defense. And America has continued to spend more and more and more and more money. They spent a record $800 billion in 2021. That number is certain to go much higher with each and every year. And so look in your companies like Lockheed Martin, who's having record profits, is $64 billion, I believe. And they had a net earning in the first quarter of $1.7 billion. So that for them is a record for them. You know, they're not going anywhere. These companies aren't going anywhere. These sectors aren't going anywhere. And so while in the Midwest, they talk a lot about EV and they talk a lot about electric vehicles going back to the energy component, there are still a lot of people in America outside of the automotive capital and in Michigan that still rely heavily on your traditional gasolines, your fossil fuels and things like that. And I don't believe they're going away anytime soon. They're hitting record profits. And those are two sectors that I like.
You know, a lot of people have been asking me, Ken, can we get a one-on-one session with you? Absolutely. Not only can you get a one-on-one session, you can even do private group sessions. Give us a call, 313-744-3489. Private stock market workshops, webinars, one-on-one sessions, private group sessions, speaking engagement workshops, whatever you need. We cover savings, banking, investing, real estate, credit, lending, taxes, insurance, and more. Give us a call, Bullish Institute, 313-744-3489. That's 313-744-3489. Man, I love it. Energy and defense. Get in there. Hit them with the combo. Hit them with the jab. Hit them with the right crop. You got it. No, I like it. It's a nice 1-2 punch. And you said something very key. It's under the radar. That's what I like. I feel sometimes Everybody obsesses themselves with the most popular stocks. The very most popular stocks, the trending top stock on Wall Street.
A lot of tech, a lot of AI is what I hear. And that's certainly a very hot sector right now. A lot of people are investing in that. But I think there are a lot of great opportunities to make some very good money in an industry, especially like defense, where a lot of people aren't thinking about it, but the United States continues to spend more and more and more money. Not only is they have to protect the homeland, but then protect their allies abroad.
You know, and I'm not going to make this podcast more than what it should be. So like, do they really have to spend this kind of money to protect?
True. They don't. Like you said, I don't need to go there, but the fact of the matter is they are spending it.
That's the fact. Follow the money. Don't follow your feelings. Follow the money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have, if it's a political show, I might say something different than what I'm saying, but it's a money show. And like you say, you can't go with your feelings. You have to go with the facts and what you see.
Yeah, and the facts are the money's going there.
Absolutely.
It's been going there and it's not going nowhere. And not only, you're right, not only do we spend American dollars for American defense, we spend American dollars for international defense.
Mm-hmm. There's a little thing called NATO that we are part of, the North American Treaty Organization, and they have to defend in a great big way some other countries that may not be able to necessarily defend themselves the way that America could defend themselves. You know, think about this too. The next country in the world as far as military spending, I believe, is Great Britain. And they spend $80 billion. I'm trying to see if that, I'm trying to remember, but the next, I don't know if it's Great Britain or not, but the number two country in the world as far as military spending doesn't spend anywhere close to what America spends in defense. And so that should tell you something. You know, follow that money, wherever that money is taking you, then that's something I believe that we should all look at. And I think defense, and then with energy hitting record profits, record quarter one profits, as far as with these energy companies, that's, I think, for me, a win.
I see it. I see the vision. I see where you at with it. Those are two really solid industries that you've identified. Really one sector, one industry. Energy is a sector. Mm-hmm. Defense is more of an industry.
Industry, yep.
But both of them, I see Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, you know what I mean? Boeing, hey, I see you. I see you shining.
You know, and you had said something, on my platform where, you know, it really kind of resonated, where you talked about during the pandemic, we really learned the word essential, what companies were essential, what was a must have versus what was more so just a luxury. And so you talked about companies in healthcare, you know, healthcare during the pandemic, when almost everything was going by the wayside, healthcare was right there. And so it made a lot of sense. And, you know, I think healthcare is very strong. You know, everybody needs medicine and everybody needs healthcare. And like you said, it continues to boom, you know. So one of the things I do worry about, you know, with energy, with respect to energy, is will there be another pandemic? I mean, 100-year pandemic, who knows? But, you know, energy really did suffer during a pandemic. But if we're talking on the short term now, where people are starting to come back out in droves, I think, you know, with them making record profits, I think it's a great opportunity.
I would concur. Yeah, man, you bring in the science, and
those are industries that are going to be here. Because without energy, there's no human experience. Mm-hmm. So that's going nowhere, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you have two energy plays at a macro level, and then easily a dozen of them at a micro level. But at a macro level, you have the old school energy, that being like the coal, nuclear, you know, anything dealing with crude oil,
mm-hmm.
fossil fuels, that type stuff, the old school energy. And then you have the new school, which is renewable, solar, wind, geothermal, hydroelectric, lithium ion,
mm-hmm.
hydrogen fuel cells, biofuels, right? You know, wind turbines, if I hadn't already said that, but it's a lot, alternative energy. So you got to pick, are you going to be on the old school or are you going to be on the cleaner, greener?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great way to put that.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's kind of dissected at a macro level. Now, when you get down and you want to dig deeper, you say, well, I want alternative. Well, then that's when you get into the, I want to do it EVs and just with vehicles. I want to get into charging stations. I want to get into the solar roofs. Or I want to get into, you know, whatever specific niche. I've been updated to say niche and not niche, whatever. You want to get into.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think that's very interesting. And then with defense, again, I don't want to make this a political show. I'm not sure what all America is defending that we need to have $800 billion of spending versus number two's $8 billion. I don't know why we need to spend 100 times more than the next nation.
Well, what I've heard and I've watched is a big chunk of that is missile defense. You know, obviously you're defending against the biggest threats around the world, nuclear powers. So we're talking about Russia and China, obviously. But now with North Korea, just a couple of days ago, talking about that they now have the ability to make the nuclear component of a rocket much smaller, which means it can be housed in many different types of missiles, either a cruise or surface to air or ICBM, or, you know, so now you have to start thinking about how do you defend against those types of threats. Plus, you know, President Biden has, you know, committed a large sum of money to the battle in Ukraine, you know, and pushing the Russian forces back, or attempting to push the Russian forces back out of Ukraine. You know, so that's an awful lot of spending, you know, there, you know, continuing research and different technology, you know, with Russia talking about these new hypersonic missiles, you know, that can travel in different trajectories, you know, at the speed of sound. And, you know, you think about those different things. And so you have to come up with different forms and means of trying to defend the homeland. I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. But when you go into these, you know, you start doing your research, you know, and I think you're very big on doing your research, you know, see what's happening, you know, with different companies. You see who's developing different technologies. Who is the builder of this particular rocket, or who's the builder or somebody that is developing this technology, missile defense system, or this tank that's being built, you know, and then you follow the money, you know, you see who the government is awarding contracts to. And then, okay, well, now you know, if Northrop Grumman just got a $200 billion contract from the federal government, well, so now maybe you look at a company like a Northrop Grumman or Lockheed Martin, you know, who used to be, you know, really big in making airplanes. Now it's more so Boeing and Airbus. You know, Lockheed Martin is more now on the defense side, as opposed to aviation and commercial aircraft. And so I think a smart play for them a number of years ago, getting out of making airplanes, you know, because they knew they couldn't compete with a company like Boeing, you know, here in you know, on American soil, and then even a European company like Airbus. So now they go to where the money, they're following the money, you know, and if the United States is giving $800 billion of defense funding for 1 year, as opposed to the next closest is the United Kingdom at $70 billion, that is staggering. So smart play for them, and it could be a smart play for any investor looking in that industry or sector.
I love it. Now you're dropping bombs today, my brother. And I hope our producer, Mr. Patton House, drops the bomb sound effect, because you're dropping them. Throughout the show, for sure. Definitely. No, I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, you are here. Don't cheat yourself. Treat yourself. Treat yourself to some more of the Bullets Picks podcast with Jermaine Man, Hunter Grant, Ken Black, Surreal. We are here with Mr. Ryan Marshall, financial expert, and he is bringing the heat. Okay, go get your fans. I hope you got your pad and pen going. Take a break, quick pause for the call. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And when I come back, Brian, I want to ask you, we want to pivot into some of the gems you got for the retirement planning aspect of things, and just kind of help our listeners know how they can get in the mix and get started with that and connect with you. All right. So y'all sit tight, take a quick pause for the call. We'll be right back. Bullets Pick Podcast, the main man, Hunter Grant, Ken Blake Sorrell, with our very special guest, Mr. Ryan Marshall. We'll be right back. All information herein is for information purposes only. Nothing heard on this podcast is considered financial advice. Bullets Picks cannot and does not assess, verify, or guarantee the adequacy, accuracy, or completeness of any information heard on this show. The hearer bears responsibility for her or his own investment research and decision.
Great meals start with Mount Sinai olive oil. Mount Sinai olive oil is first cold pressed with no added preservatives, which gives it a rich and delicious flavor. No matter what's for dinner, Mount Sinai olive oil is here with the delicious pure oil to pair it with. Shop online at MountSinaiOliveOil.com.